Hello and welcome to the East Dulwich Tabernacle Bible Class lesson recording for Easter 2020. My name is David South. I am the leader of the EDT Bible Class. Thank you for listening to the lesson today. Remember, look on our website for the next recorded lesson every Sunday. May I also encourage you and your family to join the gospel service at 11 a.m. You can join via the church website homepage. Click on the link at the bottom for live streaming. Before I start the lesson, I remind you that we do have the supporting Bible reading sheet which supplements this lesson. These can be downloaded from the website for you to have a copy so that you can remind yourself of the main lesson points and also pray and read a portion of God's Word each day throughout the week. I would love to hear from you confirming that you have listened and downloaded the sheet. Please email me. Usual address, davesouth268@btinternet.com. Alternatively, you may prefer to contact Mrs. Catterpin, Mrs. Clement, or Mr. Parsons. We look forward to hearing from you. If you ever have any questions, then please email them to us, and we will do our best to answer them. This week, we cover the lesson for Easter Sunday 2020. I will start with a short prayer, and then read the Bible passage which supports today's lesson. I will read part of a hymn at the end of the lesson today. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer, acknowledging that thou art the Almighty, Sovereign God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We humbly acknowledge that our lives and eternal souls are in thy hands. We pray for thy comfort to be given to all who grieve over the death of a loved one at this time, and for thy protecting hand to keep us all safe. We thank you, Lord God, for sending your Son to die on the cross of Calvary to save us from the guilt of our sin. Please help us to listen carefully and to take notice of thy gracious call to repentance and faith. We thank you for your interest in us and ask that we will humbly bow to the teaching of your word, for these are the very words of life to our souls. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Bible reading is taken from John chapter 19, beginning at verse 1 to 18 and then verse 30. So it'll be John 19, verse 1, and I'll just pause a little while you find that. If you need to find a Bible, then pause the recording and set it going when you're ready. John chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto them, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? And have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. Let us just drop down to verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. May the Lord bless that reading to us and grant us understanding. Our lesson for this Easter asks and answers the question, Why did God send his son to die on a cross? Firstly, we need to seriously consider who is God. God has revealed himself to us in the Bible, his word of truth to us. We also see him in nature, but this knowledge cannot bring us to know him personally as our Savior and Lord. Yet it is amazing and beyond our full comprehension that he has made it possible for us to know him intimately, personally. Firstly, we have to learn from Scripture who he is. He declares to us his mighty attributes. He is one triune God, Father, Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, divine, eternal, without beginning or end, equally the same, unchanging. We can rest on this certainty. Omnipotent, all-powerful, creator and sustainer of all things. As well as being omnipotent, he is omniscient, all-knowing, all-seeing. We can have no secrets from him. He is also omnipresent, everywhere. We cannot hide from him. Secondly, he also declares to us his character. He is holy, perfect, just. In him there is no sin whatsoever. He is loving, gracious, merciful, kind, and forgiving. There is none like unto him. He is the one true God, the God of the Bible. I want you to consider the Lord God today in a way that you may have never considered him before, very deeply and seriously. How can we come to know this amazing God? He, the Almighty God, has declared an interest in us. His being and character should amaze us. We know that we are rebel sinners, in fact, his enemies. We do not deserve his mercy or kindness. Let us remind ourselves what God has done for us. Firstly, as our Creator, he has given us our lives and our eternal souls. We often forget that actually we belong to him. He is our God, and yet we do not always take notice of him or what he says to us. He has come to meet us. His great plan of salvation, conceived in eternity, before time began. The Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, agreed to come to earth as a perfect man, the Savior of sinners. He has been promised throughout the Old Testament, and he came and was fulfilled fully in the New Testament. Before Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ proved himself as God. He lived a perfect life. He preached and taught the truth. He performed miracles. He healed the deaf, the blind, the impotent. They were all healed. He even raised people from the dead back to life again. He prayed for God's blessing on all who would believe in him. John 17, verses 5 to 10 reads, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. This was part of the Lord's Prayer that he prayed in the upper room before Calvary on the Thursday. And it shows that he includes us in that prayer, every believer. If we would believe in him, all are mine and thine, he says. So after spending time in the upper room, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. There the Lord prayed for his Father's help as he faced the ordeal that his crucifixion would bring the next day. Oh, how he felt the anticipation of being crucified, even sweating drops of blood. Luke 22 verse 42 reads, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Can you imagine the pain and agony that he was feeling at that time, that his sweat was drops of blood? He allowed men to evilly treat him and falsely condemn him to death. He was betrayed by Judas. He was falsely accused, insulted, buffeted, mocked. He was abandoned by his disciples and friends. At any time, he could have walked away and saved himself. But he did not. Pontius Pilate claimed he had the power to condemn the Lord or release him. The Lord said to him, "You can only do what my Father allows you to do." But Christ had promised in the divine eternal covenant to die for sinners like us because he loved us with an everlasting love. John 3:16 reminds us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, what love the Lord showed to us from eternity past. He could not and would not break his promise. Do you appreciate what this sacrificial and unselfish love cost him to experience his Father's wrath for our sin? On Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered his Father's holy eternal wrath for sin, eternal punishment condensed into the space of a few hours. That eternal punishment which we fully deserve ourselves. This is beyond our comprehension. We note darkness hid the awful spectacle of his suffering as he hung on that cross, physical and in his soul, separated from his Father. Oh, what pain he suffered there, we cannot fully comprehend it. He is a perfect substitute, took the full eternal punishment due to his people for the guilt of all their sins. He did this because he loves his people. He who had no sin took our sin upon his perfect soul and suffered as if he himself had committed these sins. We're reminded that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. So he gave up his life. No man took it from him. John 19 verse 30 says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." He died. It is finished. This meaning was a complete victory to carry out and accomplish exactly what was commanded, like a military command. The last act which completes a process. Total success over sin, death, the grave, and eternal hell. He had completely satisfied the justice of the Godhead. As a man, he physically died. After Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ rose again. He took back his life. Death could not hold him. His resurrection confirms his completed work of salvation for sinners. He was seen by many of his followers, including two traveling to Emmaus, which we read of in Luke 24. They said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as they spoke to him and he spoke to them?" He ascended into heaven to present saved sinners without sin to his Father. We pray to the Father through Jesus Christ. It is the only way to pray to God. He presents us and our prayers to his Father in an acceptable way. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Believers are seen by God as wearing his righteousness. As holy people, the guilt of our sin has been taken away. What a marvelous thing this is to experience and to know in our hearts that all the guilt of our sin has been laid upon Christ upon Calvary's cross, that we might be forgiven and given his righteousness in its place. He promised to return as judge of all who have ever lived. This will be the end of time when the new heaven and new earth will begin. Are you ready for this awesome event? You may die before it happens, or it may happen in our lifetime. But are you ready for that awesome event? May I ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God, Emmanuel, God with us? Do you recognize yourself as being a sinner in the sight of the one true, holy God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cruel cross as your substitute to take your guilt in your place, to take the punishment you fully deserve? Surely, we must accept that every sin is such an offense to God if the Godhead deemed it essential that the Son of God should experience this agony in our place. Or will you reject this great act of love and take the consequences that follow, that you will have to face the judgment day without a Savior, without one who will welcome you into heaven? And there are great consequences of being banished from heaven, hell. But you can come. The Lord is asking you to come. And so I encourage you to come to Jesus Christ now, today, humbly acknowledging your sin and repent of it in prayer, sincere prayer, believing that the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, died on Calvary's cross for you personally, for you as an individual. He died for many, but did he die for you? You must face up to this and come to Christ in repentance and faith. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for what Christ did upon Calvary's cross, a completed work, a selfless work, a work where he loved the people for whom he died. He hates our sin, but he loves us as sinners. Oh, what a glorious Savior he is. What a successful Savior he is. It was finished. The job was done. He satisfied the holy wrath of the Father for all eternity. Oh, may we hide ourselves in his righteousness and seek his forgiveness and walk and follow him with changed hearts and changed lives. Oh, hear our prayer of repentance, Lord. Place it in our hearts. Grant us faith by thy Holy Spirit, we pray. We ask these blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the glory of his name. Amen. I draw your attention to the chosen hymn for this week. It reminds us of what our response should be to what the Savior did on Calvary. Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. Then melt my heart, O Savior, bend me and break me down, until I own thee conqueror and Lord and sovereign crown. Oh, make me understand it, help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. If you want to look in the hymn book, that's number 260. Well, thank you for listening. Please download the sheet, keep it with you, read your Bibles in the week, pray every day, Seek the Lord to help you understand these mighty gospel truths. We hope you will listen again next week. We would also like you to join us on the Sunday services, the gospel service at 11 o'clock. You find the details on our website. And if you've started this early, then even listen today. Goodbye.